five, four, three, two, one, zero.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. So again today, here we are with the next four chapters of The Adventures of Bobby Coon, written by our old friend, Thornton W. Burgess. I've almost completed the whole story now, and next time we will read the final three chapters, and then as I stated a few episodes ago, I'll compile it all into an audiobook for you to listen to. In other news, today, here in the United States, it is the unofficial start of summer. For myself, I'm looking forward to our summer and what it brings, and hopefully you are looking forward to your summer. And hopefully you also have a good book or books picked out to read. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 9. Bobby is made much of. There's nothing like a stomach full to make the world seem brighter, to banish worry, drive out fear, and make the heart feel lighter. While Farmer Brown's boy was playing doctor and doing his best to fix Bobby Coon's broken leg so that it would heal and be as good as ever, poor Bobby was wholly in despair, and nothing is more dreadful than to be wholly in despair. There he was, perfectly helpless. For Farmer Brown's boy had bound him so he could not move. You see, Bobby couldn't understand what it all meant. If he could have understood Farmer Brown's boy, it would have been very different. But he couldn't, and so his mind was all the time full of dreadful fear. When Farmer Brown's boy had bound that broken leg so that it would be held firmly in place to heal, he made a comfortable bed in a deep box out of which Bobby couldn't possibly climb with that broken leg. In this, he put Bobby very gently, after taking off the bands with which he had been bound to the board while the broken leg was being fixed. Then he went to the house and presently returned with more good things to eat than Bobby had seen since cold weather began. These he put in the box with Bobby and then left him alone. Now at first, Bobby made up his mind that he wouldn't taste so much as a crumb. He would starve rather than live a prisoner, which was what he felt himself to be. But his stomach was empty, the smell of those good things tickled his nose, and in spite of himself, he began to nibble. The first thing he knew, he had filled his stomach, the first good meal he had had for many weeks, because, you know, he had been asleep most of the winter. Right away, Bobby felt sleepy. A full stomach, you know, almost always makes one feel sleepy. Then, too, Bobby was quite tired out with the fright and strange experience he had been through. So he curled up, and in no time at all, he had forgotten all his troubles. And for days and days, Bobby slept most of the time. You see, he was finishing out that long winter sleep he was used to. And this, it happens, was the very best thing in the world for Bobby. Being asleep, he wasn't tempted to try to pull off that bandage around the broken leg, and so the leg had just the chance it needed to mend. Every day, Farmer Brown's boy visited Bobby, just as a good doctor should visit a patient, and looked carefully at the bandaged leg to make sure that it was as it should be. And whenever Farmer Brown's boy visited Bobby, he took some goodie in his pocket to tempt Bobby's appetite, just as if it needed tempting. Bobby would wake up long enough to eat what had been brought and then would go to sleep again, quite as if he were all alone. As the weather grew warmer, Bobby grew more wakeful. Of course, he had plenty of time in which to remember and to think. He remembered how dreadfully frightened he had been when Farmer Brown's boy had caught him and brought him to the barn, all because he had not really known Farmer Brown's boy. Now everything was different, so very, very different. It was a fact, an actual fact, that Bobby had learned to know the step of Farmer Brown's boy, and when he heard it coming his way, he was as tickled as once he would have been frightened. You see, Farmer Brown's boy was very, very good to him and made so much of him that I am afraid he was quite spoiling Bobby. Kindness had driven out fear from Bobby's mind, and in his place had come trust. It will do it every time if given a chance. Chapter 10. Bobby Longs for the Green Forest. Now though Bobby Coon was made a great deal of by Farmer Brown's boy and was petted and stuffed with good things to eat until it was a wonder that he wasn't made sick, he was really a prisoner. Excepting when Farmer Brown's boy played with him in the house, he was fastened by a long chain. You see, when at last the bandage was taken off and the leg was found to have healed, Bobby was kept a prisoner that he might get the full use of that leg once more before having to shift for himself. Day by day, the strength came back to that leg until it was as good as ever it had been, and still Bobby was kept a prisoner. The truth is, Farmer Brown's boy had grown so fond of Bobby that he couldn't bear to think of parting with him. At first, Bobby hadn't minded in the least. It was fine to have all the good things to eat he wanted without the trouble of hunting for them, things he never had had before and never could have in the Green Forest. It was fine to have a warm, comfortable bed and not a thing in the world to worry about. So for a time, Bobby was quite content to be a prisoner. He didn't mind that chain at all, excepting when he wanted to poke his inquisitive little nose into something he couldn't reach. But as sweet Mistress Spring awakened those who had slept the long winter away, the trees and flowers and insects, and old Mr. Toad and Johnny Chuck and Striped Chipmunk and all the rest, and as one after another the birds arrived from the sunny southland, and Bobby heard them singing and twittering, and watched them flying about, a great longing for the Green Forest crept into his heart. At first, he didn't really know what it was that he wanted. It simply made him uneasy. He couldn't keep still. He walked back and forth, at the length of his chain. He began to lose his appetite. Then one day, Farmer Brown's boy brought him a fish for his dinner, and all in a flash, Bobby knew what it was he wanted. He wanted to go back to the Green Forest. He wanted to fish for himself in the Laughing Brook. He wanted to climb trees. He wanted to visit his old neighbors and see what they were doing. He wanted to hunt for bugs under old logs and around old stumps. He wanted to hunt for nests being built so that later he might steal the eggs from them. Yes, he did just this, I'm sorry to say. Bobby is very fond of eggs, and he considers that he has a perfect right to them if he is smart enough to find them. He wanted to be free, free to do what he pleased, when he pleased, and how he pleased. He wanted to go back home to the Green Forest. Farmer Brown's boy has been very good to me, and I believe he would let me go if only I could tell him what I want, thought Bobby, but I can't make him understand what I say any more than I can understand what he says. What a great pity it is that we don't all speak the same language. Then we would all understand each other, and I don't believe we little folks of the Green Forest and the Green Meadows would be hunted so much by these men creatures. There's nothing like common speech to make folks understand one another. I know Farmer Brown's boy would let me go if he only knew. I know he would. Bobby sat down where he could look over towards the Green Forest and sighed and all the longing of his heart crept into his eyes. Chapter 11. The Happiest Coon Ever. As jolly Mr. Sun smiles down and makes the land all bright and fair, so happiness within the heart spreads joy and gladness everywhere. Now though Bobby Coon couldn't speak the language of Farmer Brown's boy, and so tell him how he longed to be free and go back to the Green Forest, he could, and he did tell him in another way, just what was in his heart. He told him with his eyes, though he didn't know it. You know, eyes are sometimes called the windows of the soul. This means simply that as you look out through your eyes and see all that is going on about you, so others may sometimes look right in your eyes and see what is going on within your mind. Eyes are very wonderful things, and a great deal may be learned from them. Eyes will tell the truth when a tongue is busy telling a wrong story. I guess you know how hard it is, when you have done wrong, to look Mother straight in the face and try to make her believe that you haven't done wrong. That is because your eyes are truthful. Looking straight into the eyes of fierce wild animals often will fill them with fear. Trainers of lions and other dangerous animals know this and do it a great deal. Fear will show in the eyes when it shows nowhere else. It is the same with happiness and contentment. So it is with sorrow and worry. Just as a thermometer shows you just how warm it is or how cold it is, so the eyes show our feelings. So when Bobby Coon sat down and gazed toward the Green Forest and wished that he could tell Farmer Brown's boy how he wanted to go back there, a look of longing grew and grew in Bobby's eyes, and Farmer Brown's boy saw it. What is more, he understood it. His own eyes grew soft. "You poor little rascal," said he. "I believe you think you are a prisoner and that you want to go back home. Well, I guess there is no reason why you shouldn't now. I'm very fond of you, Bobby. Yes, I am. I'm so fond of you that I hate to have you go, and I guess that I've kept you longer than was necessary. That leg of yours looks to me to be as good as ever, so I really haven't an excuse for keeping you any longer. I think we'll take a walk this afternoon." If Bobby could have understood what Farmer Brown's boy was saying, it would have made him feel a great deal better. But he didn't understand, and so he continued to stare towards the Green Forest and grow more and more homesick. After dinner, Farmer Brown's boy came out and took off the collar and chain and picked Bobby up in his arms. This time, Bobby didn't have his eyes covered as he did when he had been brought from the Green Forest. Fear no longer made him want to bite and scratch. Through the old orchard, straight to the Green Forest, they went, and Bobby began to grow excited. What was going to happen? What did it mean? Through the Green Forest, straight to the place where Bobby's great hollow tree used to stand, went Farmer Brown's boy. When they got there, he smoothed Bobby's coat and patted him gently, then he put him down on the ground. "Here we are, Bobby," said he. "Now run along and find a new house and be happy. I hope you won't forget me, because I am going to come over often to see you. Just keep out of mischief, and above all, keep out of the way of hunters next fall. They shall not hunt here if I can help it, but you know I cannot watch all the time. Goodbye, Bobby, and take care of yourself." Bobby didn't say goodbye, because he didn't know how. But a great joy came into his eyes, and Farmer Brown's boy saw it and understood. Straight off among the trees, Bobby walked. Once he looked back, Farmer Brown's boy was watching him and waved a hand. "He was good to me. He certainly was good to me," thought Bobby. I believe I am really fond of him." Then he went on to look for a new house. All the joy of the springtime was in his heart. He was free. He was home once more in the Green Forest, He no longer feared Farmer Brown's boy. "I am the happiest coon in all the world," cried Bobby. Chapter 12. Bobby Tries the Wrong House. Home again, happy am I. Had I but wings, I most surely would fly. So sang Bobby Coon as he wandered about in the Green Forest after leaving Farmer Brown's boy. At least he meant it for singing. Of course, it wasn't real singing, for Bobby Coon can no more sing than he can fly. But it did very well to express his happiness, and that was all it was intended to do. Bobby was happy. He was very happy indeed. Indeed, he couldn't remember ever having been quite so happy. You see, he never before had understood fully what freedom means. No one can fully understand what a wonderful and blessed thing freedom is until they have lost it and then got it again. Bobby took long breaths and sniffed and sniffed and sniffed and sniffed the sweet smells of early spring. The Green Forest was full of them, and never had they seemed so good to Bobby. He climbed a tree for nothing under the sun but to know what it felt like to climb once more. Then he climbed down to the earth again and went poking around among the leaves just for the fun of poking around. He rolled over and over from sheer joy. Finally, he brushed himself off, climbed up on an old stump, and sat down to think things over. "Of course," said he to himself, "the first thing for me to do is to find a new house. I don't have to have it right away, because there are plenty of places in which I can curl up for a nap, but it is more convenient and much more respectable to have a house. People who sleep anywhere and have no homes are never thought much of by their friends and neighbors. Without a home, I can have no self-respect. There's a certain old hollow tree I always did like the looks of. Unc' Billy Possum used to live there, but maybe he has moved. Anyway, he may be out, and if so, he will be smarter than I think he is to get me out once I'm inside. I believe I'll look up that tree right away." Bobby scrambled down from the stump and started down the Lone Little Path. After a while, he turned off the Lone Little Path into a hollow and presently came to the tree he had in mind. It was straight, tall, and big. High up was a doorway plenty big enough for Bobby Coon. He sat down and looked up. The longer he looked, the better that tree seemed to him. It would suit for a house first rate. There were marks on the tree made by claws, the claws of Unc' Billy Possum. Some of them looked quite fresh. "Looks as if Unc' Billy is still living there," thought Bobby. "Well, I can't help it if he is. If that tree looks as good inside as it does outside, I am afraid Unc' Billy and I will have a falling out. It's everyone for himself in the Green Forest, and I don't think Unc' Billy will care to fight me. I'm bigger and considerably stronger than he, so if he's there, I guess I'll just invite him to move out." Now, of course, this wasn't at all right of Bobby Coon, but it is the way things are done in the Green Forest, and the people who live there are used to it. The strong take what they want if they can get it, and Bobby knew that Unc' Billy Possum would treat Happy Jack Squirrel the same way if he happened to want Happy Jack's house. So he climbed up the tree, quite sure that this was the house he would take for his new home. He was halfway up when a sharp voice spoke. "Haven't you made a mistake, Brer Coon?" said the voice. "This isn't your house." Bobby stopped and looked up. Unc' Billy Possum was grinning down at him from his doorway. Bobby grinned back. "It occurred to me that you might like to move, and as I'm looking for a house, I think this one will suit me very well," said he, and grinned again, for he knew that Unc' Billy would understand just what he meant. Before Unc' Billy could say a word, another sharp face appeared beside his own, and a voice still sharper than his said, "What's that no-count coon doing in our tree? What's this talk I hear about moving? Isn't nobody gwine to move that I knows of?" Bobby had forgotten all about old Mrs. Possum, and now as he saw that it was 2-1, he suddenly changed his mind. "Excuse me," said he, "I guess I've got the wrong house."
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information, to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.